Jesus is the stone rejected by the builders who has become the cornerstone. One of the things that St. Peter is saying by this is that Jesus comes in such an unexpected way that the religious leaders, the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, none of them recognized him as the Son of God. It was only the poor and the outcasts, those outside the law, those rejected by the society, they were the ones who recognized Jesus. So Jesus puts himself amid tax collectors and sinners. He's one of those who hangs out with the wrong people. He's therefore rejected along with them. But he's the stone rejected by the builders that has become the cornerstone. In other words, Jesus is presenting a whole new way of looking at religion. It's not that he's denying the law or the prophets. He's fulfilling them by talking about it in a way that appeals to the ordinary average person. Not quoting the scriptures, not quoting the law like the scribes did, but just kind of on his own authority. Just speaking authoritatively about life as they were experiencing it and projecting God's peace and compassion and reconciliation onto their situation. It's so radical that they killed him for it. Okay, that's one of the points in these readings. The other one, there are several. Another one is, what makes Jesus the good shepherd is precisely that he lays down his life for the sheep. Now, a few verses before this passage we heard tonight, Jesus describes himself as the sheep gate. In a paddock or a corral, they would gather the sheep at night and they would be protected from wolves in that corral. And there was just a very small opening through which they could come in and go out. And the shepherd slept in that passageway. So in other words, the wolf could only get to the sheep over my dead body. He lays down his life for the sheep. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of afraid of wolves. And I don't know if I could sleep at night in that gateway. How would you ever go to sleep? There's something risky about this. You know, the risking of one's own life. And God does this for us. This is what Jesus is saying by saying he's the good shepherd. God lays down his life for us. A hired man would run away, as most of us would. Who would want to fight the wolves and risk one's own life except if you loved passionately beyond your own life? It's like when people fall in love with one another. You would give your life for that other person. You wouldn't run away because you love that person more than your own life. And God loves us more than God's own life. And we've said here so many times that this is what characterizes God, that God, the three persons of the Trinity are laying down their lives for each other and receiving back that same self-offering. That's who God is. So when Jesus says, the Father honors me because I lay down my life for the sheep, one of the things he's saying is, the Father recognizes himself when he looks at me, because the Father lays down his life too. That's who God is. God in heaven, God the Father, recognizes in this man Jesus his own life. The Father and Jesus are one. To see Jesus is to see the Father. And then, of course, he sends us his Spirit so that we might be incorporated into that same body. Now it's no longer the body of Jesus of Nazareth that embodies and fleshes God, but it's the church, his body, that enfleshes God in the world. So that's a wonderful privilege for us, but it's an awesome responsibility. We practice laying down our lives on this altar every weekend, every Sunday, because how are we ever going to get that in our heart and in our whole being if we don't at least ritually practice it every Sunday? ritually laying down our lives so that when the situation occurs where we would have to actually risk, we'll be strengthened by this grace to do that. It's an awesome mystery that we celebrate here every Sunday, the laying down of our lives along with the life of Christ, identifying with his passion, remembering Calvary here at the altar, not just as a fond memory and not just as something to admire, but as something to emulate, something to involve ourselves in. And then the final point that's being made by these readings, I think, is this. If Jesus is the sheep gate and the sheep go out and come in through him, then one of the lines from that reading that suggests that, I know, I guess it was the opening prayer that says, where he has gone, we hope to follow. The only way to heaven is through Jesus, through the shepherd. We are the sheep, and the only way we can get to heaven is through him. There is no other way. And so emulating him at the altar is a way of involving ourselves in him, becoming him, so that what we do and what we say is what he does and what he says. He has become us and we have become him. And so we enter into our eternal reward precisely through him, by identifying with him, by becoming one with him. So this is a new kind of religion even 2,000 years later, isn't it? Because there's something in the human condition that loves to memorize things, that loves to say, okay, here's the list of things that I believe, here's the list of laws that I obey, and it's all kind of exterior, and you know, you can climb the ladder of spiritual success by accomplishing these things and observing those things and believing, assenting to those things. But Jesus is telling us today the same thing he told those people in 2,000 years ago in Nazareth. The only way to get into this is not by following those things. It's by following me. It's by falling in love with him. It's by becoming his body, by allowing him to come into me. That's why at communion we eat and drink God, so that we become like God. You are what you eat. So we fall in love with Jesus. We fall in love with this risk-taking. We fall in love with this strange, terrifying kind of life and death because we have come to know resurrection. We have come to know that death is not the last word. We've come to know that love is more powerful than death. And the more we practice that here ritually, the more we live it in our lives.